The Cowboys are very desperate. And, Mike, I get it. Any given Sunday, and these guys may show up, but here's what I don't want to happen as we get into this today. And break down Thursday and Friday, you know, what the game plan may be and how to attack these guys. But, Mike, I do not want to come out flat like we did 2 weeks ago against Seattle.
Yeah, and look, as we said, that happens to even the good teams historically. But let's hope that that's the one that we got out of our system. Because now, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the bar gets raised. People see this and we look at the NFC, you know, playoff landscape and you say, okay, maybe the Lions are the team that's a little more complete than anybody else. But we're certainly in that next tier with, like, for instance, Philadelphia, maybe the Commanders, you know, certainly the Packers. And, you know, we're going to see a couple of these guys on the schedule. But yeah, I'm with you, brother. We beat that Tampa Bay Bucs team, we beat Carolina, and then, you know, Seattle did have 10 days for us, but they were ready, and they were under some pressure. Dallas is too. Dallas, you talked about infighting or whatever, in inner pressure, which is always there with America's team. But you still got to get Dak on the ground, otherwise he'll carve you up. He can do it.
404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com as we broadcast live inside the Ticketmaster Studios here at Flowery Branch as the Falcons start their preparation for this Sunday, which, again, Cowboys come to town, Mike. We know this. There are going to be a ton of Cowboy fans there, right? Win or lose, however the season's going, these guys are going to show up. They don't have a lot to cheer about right now. There's not a lot going right for the Cowboys, guys, to be quite honest with you. I mean, even CeeDee Lamb has struggled after, you know, the holdout and finally getting his bag. But, Mike, last week he had 146 yards, and that sounds impressive. But, guys, it was late in a game in which they were giving up everything in front of them, and I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers. So he was getting big chunks, but this wasn't like he was breaking them off in the first and second quarter and making big plays and big explosives. So don't get it twisted when you say, well, CeeDee Lamb, a lot of that was, we'll let you catch it in front of us because we're not going to give up the big play. Right. And they didn't, and Dallas ended up folding. So I just feel like there is right now, offensively, a lot of issues and trouble. If we can't find a way to get a sack this week, I don't know if it's going to happen all season.
As you said, they just can't run the football. They really should have brought Derrick Henry in, but Jerry was strapped for cash. Not literally, just with the cap he was. But, yeah, it's just a team that, and you said it, yeah, they always get the juice because of the fan base. But I will say this, you really can't call Cowboys fans front runners anymore. Because if you think about it, guys, just think about this. Since they last played in the Super Bowl, granted they won it, the Falcons have been to two.
Yep.
And they haven't been to any. So you are actually now maybe not that front runner who has the Lakers jersey or the Yankees cap in the closet, but they are a team which has flaws. So I think, you know, you just touched it on. We can maybe let these guys have the big play in the little plays, avoid the big play. Maybe Dak, I don't care if he throws for 400 yards, but just keep those guys out of the end zone.
No, I agree with you. And it may be that kind of game, by the way, because their lack of ability to run the ball, he will have to throw for a lot and be accurate and not turn it over, which, again, bodes well for us.
And we didn't bring anybody in, and we're not going to have anybody in on this team, by the, doesn't sound like, before the Sunday's game. So what we've had, you will have again. Will we make some moves? We'll try to get it out of coach.
Yeah.
You know, we've asked him seven ways to Sunday. We'll continue to apply a little bit of pressure on just where is the solution in the building, and if it's not, what you going to do?
Yeah, where is that solution? Hey, man, follow us on social media. It is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell at 929 The Game, and also follow the radio station. Stay up on everything that's going on. Let's hear from Raheem Morris. Coach is going to join us here in a little bit over an hour talking about Cousins and being the processor that he is. I said it to start the week, Mike. We're here because of him and his ability to make these plays. He was almost perfect. I mean, listen, he probably watched the film and thought he could have made some throws that we're not going to see.
Right.
But he was damn good last Sunday, and Raheem was talking about it.
100%, Torrey. You know, that was probably his cleanest game as a quarterback as an Atlanta Falcon. You know, and I know it's hard to say when he threw for 500 yards 1 week, but you know how I feel about stats. But yesterday, as far as being clean, as far as throwing the ball exactly where it needs to go, being able to exhaust his progressions, feeling really comfortable, being decisive, doing all the different things that Kurt does well. He actually ran the ball yesterday. I was really pleased with our quarterback play yesterday, and you can see the confidence in our offense when he's playing that way and the style of play we want to play. And it's been the vision. You know, we were lucky enough to go out there and sign him.
Yeah, that confidence is rubbing off on guys. Mike, do you feel like, guy asked me, he sent me a message and he said, do you guys feel like everybody on the offense is playing better? And I'm like, well, yeah, because the quarterback is playing better.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback, and you know, for instance, you know, when Hinton had to go in the Seattle game, it was pretty rough. When Hinton went in this week, he did the job. Now, granted, Todd Bowles not blitzing and Todd Bowles, his defensive scheme, that's a them problem. But we adapted, and we obviously got everybody involved. The fact that, you know, we're no longer talking about Kyle Pitts, our only bellyache about Kyle Pitts is he just didn't run harder for one more yard on the touchdown. Kyle Pitts is involved. Bijan is everybody who's been drafted. If anything, now Drake's kind of falling down a little bit on the pecking order, at least Mooney and everybody else. And I'm sure that's not an issue. I think Drake could very easily pop this week against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But everything is cooking. That's what's making this so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and...
And tough to defend.
It is, and we've had, to Mike's point, we've had offensive line issues now, only because of injury. It's not that these guys aren't any good, but when you're trying to fill the void of one or two guys at the same time, and, you know, that game where we lost two guys, I mean, we felt that. But the O-line has still responded. I saw a stat, you know, PFF does this stuff every week where they break stuff down. Jake got a great rating last week. Guys, to Mike's point about this whole blitzing thing with Tampa, if they didn't want to blitz Kirk Cousins, fine. I'm surprised they didn't, but give the O-line a lot of credit. They picked up the blitzes in which they did try to get to him.
Right.
And, Mike, listen, we broke them off 420 yards, right, running the football. Our O-line is doing a really good job, and it really doesn't matter who's been out there these last few weeks.
Right. I mean, and the ability to get the yardage, I mean, to get – like, all you do is get Bijan in space. Get Bijan one-on-one. He's going to beat that guy 99% of the time. So, I know that the first week, like, a lot of fans were like, this isn't the Madden game we thought it was going to be, and we've already talked about it. Kirk, I still don't think, was 100%, and Zach was having to adapt to that. Zach Robinson, I'm loving the play calling. I mean, the only thing we kind of, you know, we found a way to run that 6 minutes off the clock at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, granted, you know, he can't, it's not his fault that Tyler fumbled, but, and we had that safety. But the offense has been really, really good. And the Kirk did overthrow Drake, you know, one of those interceptions against Seattle. So we've had two stinkers this year. And I'll take that. I mean, you know, we've had some really good things happening with this offensive scheme.
Yeah. The first week we were still, it's one score game, we're in it. Seattle game is an outlier. The thing that I'm loving about Zach Robinson, and we'll ask Kirk this, Mike, there's been no foolishness with this offense, right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be inside, outside zone. We're going to play action. Mm-hmm. We're going to put him in the shotgun. Like, here's the fundamentals of our offense. There's been no clowning around where tight end one throws it to tight end three.
Right.
There's been none of this foolishness that we had seen over the last few years. To me, that matters because what it says is there's a fundamental belief from Zach Robinson that not only I believe in the quarterback to make the plays that we need to make, but we don't need to go outside of ourselves to try to fool anybody. You know what? Here's what we do. Stop us. I love it.
And that's the thing that you and I used to go crazy about, and I'm not going to, you know, it is what it is. Arthur Smith, we had a hard time at times trying to wrap our head around just what exactly we were doing with those gadget plays. I think what's the most, I don't know, outlandish thing that Zach Robinson has dialed up? A jet sweep to Ray McLeod. That's just strong football.
Yes.
Using the speed element, seal it, but get your offensive lineman in the game, as you just talked about. So that's it. A jet sweep for 17 yards to Ray.
And I'll take
that. Cool.
Yes.
And that's I don't need – they went for the fake punt. They did a fleet flicker, and Baker's just thrown it away, but he stayed committed to it, and that's when Jesse Bates pulled the pick.
Well, both of those situations set up scenarios where we could go back down the field and score. Those are huge mistakes in a game. I just want people to realize, like, there hasn't been any of that foolishness. We haven't necessarily gotten every fourth down. I get it. But we're not trying trickery because that stuff doesn't play. You need to be who you are. And by the way, it doesn't mean that we won't pull one of those plays out between now and the end of the season. It's a long year, man. But we hadn't seen it in the first 8-9 weeks, Mike. And that's good news because that means you believe in what we're doing and we're going to score with this. By the way, you know, we struggled in scoring for a very, very long time in this league. We are now 12th in scoring at 24.3 points. Mike, if you just took that to 25, we'd be top 10.
Right.
I mean, we're already in the top 10.
The only beef that Falcon fans could have would have been the 3rd-1 and the 4th-1 against Kansas City. Think about it. You know, for the most part, we've been a team that we're not – when we come back to work on Monday, you and I aren't going, that stupid thing and that stupid thing. And that's a nice feeling for us and I think for Falcon fans.